Welcome. This is Interpreter Insights. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today's insight is into, in my opinion, one of the best ever Interpreter Journal articles, which was published in 2017. It's volume 24. Look for page 27. This is an article by Stan Spencer called Seers and Stones. It's about the translation of the Book of Mormon as divine visions of an old-time seer. Before we jump into that, please know that the Interpreter Foundation supports the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints by making the latest and best scholarship available to you at interpreterfoundation.org. Please tell your friends about this episode of Insights and kindly give me a 5-star rating. I would also encourage you to look at the episodes of Becoming Brigham on the Internet. By doing so, you'll learn who the real Brigham Young was. Each one debunks a misconception about Brigham Young with actual facts. And one more point, which is that because the Interpreter Foundation is not owned or controlled by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the comments that I make are solely my responsibility. And now we're going to talk about Stan Spencer's wonderful 2017 Interpreter Journal article, Seers and Stones. In it, he describes the historical context and he makes the point that few subjects have been as fascinating to Latter-day Saints as just how did Joseph Smith translate the Book of Mormon? Joseph Smith himself only said it was by the gift and power of God. As a matter of fact, when he was invited to describe the details in a church conference, invited to give the details by his own brother Hiram, Joseph Smith declined and simply said it was by the gift and power of God. Today, it is all the rage to think of a pair of spectacles, which Joseph Smith did have, or a seer stone, which Joseph Smith did have after the loss of the 116 pages. And imagine, based on the statements of a number of people who helped Joseph Smith as scribes or were his friends, who said that he read the text or saw letters appear or something else. Because of these, we have this notion that Joseph Smith just read the text when he stuck his face into a hat. The problem with this, as pointed out by Stan Spencer, is that if true, would mean D&C Section 9 doesn't really mean anything and we should just ignore it. That sounds like a pretty dramatic statement to make, but it is true because although we have this idea today and many people who are apologetics or apologists rather for the faith have this idea that there's some kind of physical property to the Urim and Thummim or the seer stone where Joseph Smith just looked in it and read things, that it was a bit like looking into a computer screen or into your cell phone and all you had to do was just really see it and read it. The problem with that is that, as Stan Spencer points out, that's an anachronistic bias. It projects our modern ideas into something that happened into the in the 18th and the 19th century, sorry. It also has the problem that it disregards, as I mentioned a second ago, Section 9. Listen to what Section 9 tells us. DNC 9 says, behold, and this is the Lord through Joseph Smith, excuse me, to Oliver Cowdery. Behold, I say unto you, my son, that because you did not translate according to that which you desired of me and did commence again to write for my servant Joseph, even so, I would that you should continue until you have finished this record, which I have entrusted unto him. And then he goes on and says this. And then behold, other records have I. And then he says, be patient. And then he talks about why Oliver Cowdery failed in his effort to translate. Verse 7 of DNC 9. Quote, behold, you have not understood. You have supposed that I would give it unto you when you took no thought, save it was to ask me. But behold, I say unto you that you must study it out in your mind. Then you must ask me if it be right. And if it be right, I will cause that your bosom shall burn within you. Therefore, you shall feel that it is right. But if you do not have such a feeling, you'll have a stupor of thought. You won't be able to write. That's a paraphrase. All right. So if Joseph Smith were reading, if there was extremely tight control just by Joseph Smith's reading, verses 7 and 8 would never have been given. You wouldn't have to study anything out in your mind. You would just read it. And the only problem that Oliver Cowdery would have had was that he just didn't take the time to read it. And that's not what DNC 9 says. And that's a point that Stan Spencer makes in his wonderful article. And he gives some examples from history. And instead of what we do with our current technology, assuming that there was some kind of a stone that acted like a digital screen, we have this visionary model from scriptures that would be more accurate, where the stone acts as a catalyst for Joseph Smith to see something, but not just letters. Those who talk about letters or characters didn't know, because Joseph Smith never said. That's an assumption on their part. Another comment made by Stan Spencer is that if Joseph Smith was a passive reader, he wouldn't even have needed to be a prophet. Anyone who was directed to could have just read the words. It makes them become passive, just like Moses was passive. He received the tablets that were pre-written by God. He didn't write anything. It took no effort on his part other than his faith to see them, obtain them from God, and take them down the mountain. In all of the descriptions of what Joseph Smith did, he was an active seer. It took great effort for him to produce the translations. If this were just a mere mechanical device, none of that would have been required. And Stan Spencer, in his wonderful article, focuses on the idea of a spiritual vision and says that this would be consistent with the Book of Mormon and the Bible. He describes how in Mosiah chapter 8, verse 13, King Mosiah and other prophets are described as seers because they see things. They are a seer. They are commanded by God to look into the interpreters they possess, and they see things after the manner of times of old. Mosiah 28, verses 13 through 16. If we know what a seer does, then we would know how Joseph Smith actually translates. But we do not do that. We should not presuppose that somehow Joseph Smith sees things like letters or sentences, because David Whitmer or others made that comment, they did not know. That's an assumption on their part. Understand Spencer's visionary seer model. The text of the Book of Mormon was not displayed mechanically on the surface of the stone. Instead, the entire translation experience was an extended, immersive, divine vision. When Joseph looked into the hat, his spiritual eyes were open and he was granted an imaginative vision of the translated English text. In other words, he saw things, not just the text. And this is why later on he was able to describe the inhabitants of the Americas, as described in the Book of Mormon, their mode of dress, their mannerisms, and other things that are not really quite in the Book of Mormon. All of this aligns pretty well with the scriptures we have in Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, as Stan Spencer points out, a place where Ezekiel, who was a prophet, is commanded to look upon and eat a scroll delivered to him in a heavenly vision. The idea of eating conveys this idea of completely possessing it so that you understand it completely within and without. You have a similar idea in Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, where John the Revelator interacts with a visionary little book. In all of these cases, the text was real, it was authoritative. There was a divine text, but it didn't exist physically and it wasn't on a screen. It was perceived entirely by the spiritual mechanism of a divine vision. Let's talk a little bit about aids to faith. There's a great section in Stan Smith's article that talks about that. And in his article, he describes some of the catalysts for faith. He brings up Moses' staff, which was used to part the Red Sea. He describes the clay and the spittle that healed the blind man's eyes. He also talks then about the seer stones that Joseph Smith used for his vision and his translation of the Book of Mormon. And to the examples that Stan Smith gave, I would also add the handkerchiefs of Paul that were a catalyst, as described in Acts chapter 19, verse 12, the brass serpent in Numbers 21, verse 9, where those who looked upon it were healed from snake bite. And perhaps the most famous of all is the one where a woman who had a bleeding problem for a number of years touched one of the tassels. This is translated hem of the garment, which is kind of a lousy translation in the King James Version. This was a tassel, a tzitzit in Hebrew, or a kraspedon in Greek, one of the four tassels off from the corners of Jesus' robe, like all Jewish men wore at the time. This particular episode is found in three of the Gospels, Mark chapter 9, verse 22, or excuse me, Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, Mark chapter 5, verse 29, and Luke 8 at verse 44. All of these have the tassel on Jesus' robe as an authentic catalyst for Jesus healing somebody, for the woman to be healed by using that catalyst as a mechanism to heal. For Joseph Smith, who was a young man raised in early 19th century agrarian culture where stone looking and treasure seeking were recognized traditional frameworks for the unseen world, a seer stone was an intuitive cultural vehicle to do what God had commanded. God condescended to Joseph's understanding and existing worldview. Hence, by looking into the stone, Joseph Smith was able to completely shut out the distracting stimuli from the material world, and he was able to become completely focused and immersed in an uninterrupted spiritual state day after day at will as he became good at it. And thus, the hat wasn't required to actually read faint text on a glowing rock. What it really did was it excluded the external stimuli of the outside world and allowed Joseph Smith to focus very carefully and completely. A little bit the way you would do it today if you were studying for an exam and you closed the door and sat in your room so that no outside distractions would bother you. All of these ideas are a little bit difficult to somehow mesh together with the idea that we hear from Royal Skousen and Stan Carmack, both of whom I greatly admire, that somehow Joseph Smith didn't have much control himself. God had tight control over what Joseph Smith wrote in the Book of Mormon. There doesn't have to be a conflict there. All that's needed is to understand that if Joseph Smith did what was described in Doctrine and Covenants Section 9, and he was completely immersed in the vision that God gave him, and did so with the Urim and Thummim prior to the loss of the 116 pages, and with the seer stone thereafter, that what Joseph Smith would have done is see more than just words. He would have seen the entire context as well as the words as they had been spoken and written. And he would have seen all about the context of the Book of Mormon. It wasn't just the text, it was the entire experience. For me, this firmly links what happened and what is described in this wonderful article, which I highly recommend by Stan Spencer. And I'll mention again, it's in 2017 journal, the Interpreter Journal. It shows how Doctrine and Covenants 9 fits with exactly what Joseph Smith did to translate. And it also, and this is something that's not in the article, but to me it just fits perfectly. Joseph Knight Sr. said that Joseph Smith remarked to him about the Urim and Thummim. This is the only known example that I'm aware of a statement by Joseph Smith that's recorded by someone else or conveyed by someone else about how Joseph Smith utilized the Urim and Thummim. Joseph Knight asked Joseph Smith about the Urim and Thummim, and Joseph Smith said, quote, "It is 10 times better than I expected." And he, this is Joseph Knight's comment about Joseph Smith, he, Joseph Smith, seemed to think more of the glasses or the Urim and Thummim than he did of the plates. For, says he, Joseph Smith, quote, "I can see anything in them. They are marvelous," close quote. That is what Stan Spencer describes in Seers and Stones, The Way Joseph Smith Translated the Book of Mormon. You should all check it out. If you read it, you should go read it again. One of the best ever interpreter journal articles, volume 24, page 27, 2017. Join me again next time. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Interpreter Insights.